First, I want to say congratulations on this extraordinary new recording. It is absolutely captivating.
Oh, thank you. Thanks a lot.
It's just wonderful. I mean, captivating is the best word I can think of. But, you know, before we discuss this new CD, I would like to ask you to talk about how you became a musician, and specifically how a child of the 60s became a lutenist.
Yeah, well, I grew up, was born very far away from this whole environment. And I think several times in life, either you become something because you're really in it from the very beginning, or sometimes it's just the contrary, the other way around, that you feel really attracted by something which is very remote, very far, and actually which is more kind of a dream somehow, which was what happened for me. I was born in Oslo, a very modern city without any actual historical architecture, any story around me. And very few people did that type of music, this talking about now in the middle of the 70s, more or less. And I came to the music through some records, and I just remembered very, very strong feeling the first music I heard from some recordings. Actually, some of these recordings were the very first recordings of Jordi Savall of the Hesperion group, which later I became a member of. And I remember when I heard that music, that was a feeling of something which was very far away in physical distance. It was Latin Europe, you know, southern Spain, Italy, south of France. And I kind of visually saw all these images of these beautiful places I'd seen in books and photos, and also felt very attracted by this the historical side of it, that dimension, feeling something which was a very, very remote part of our history, but still which I kind of felt as a dream about it somehow. And then concretely what happened was that there were some courses given also up in Norway of a very famous lutenist, Till Hopkins Smith, American great lutenist. And through him, and then later in Basel in Switzerland, I got to study that instrument.
So the lute was literally your first instrument then, is that correct?
Well, not really. I guess I dumped it apart now, because actually I played electric guitar quite seriously at that point, and as first musical experience. And I did about 3 years of professional work with as studio and jazz guitarist, playing, you know, improvised music that was more or less fusion, jazz, rock, funk style of music. What I never did, actually, was to play the classical guitar. So the lute was my very first contact with classical music. And I guess that experience with improvised music and that experience of rhythmical music with a lot of energy and kind of physical, living the sound in a very physical way, as you do with electric improvised music, jazz rock, that later had quite some influence on my way to approach the Baroque repertoire as well. Musically, of course, not stylistically speaking, but this kind of expectation of having the music giving you a real emotion also in an almost physical way, that a sound exists as a physical thing and not only as a kind of ritual, which sometimes happen in classical music. And then I kind of got used to expect that experience from any type of music I was in contact with.
Well, you know, as you've already sort of laid out your credentials and your training in this music and in music in general, and of course you're a professor yourself of lute and historical performance at a very prestigious music school, but I did read a comment by you that with this new recording that you and your colleagues are saying goodbye once and for all to early music's authenticity creed. And that really jumped out at me. I was wondering what you mean by that, and I was wondering what you consider to be early music's authenticity creed.
Yeah, well, I think that should be read a little bit more with more attention, or probably I should have said it with some more attention, because what we like to do, and also what is the title of the album, the Nuove Musiche, is to propose some kind of new vision to that repertoire. Actually, the title of the album is kind of double meaning. It refers to a historical fact, which was what happened in Florence in the beginning of the 17th century, when the Camerata Fiorentina sat down and made this decree that they would create a new music, and that they would say goodbye to what we today call the prima pratica, the first musical practice, which was the Renaissance. Mm-hmm. And they, at that point, they created actually on paper, so to speak, they created a new musical style, which is a thing which very rarely happened in music history, because normally music evolves with the musicians and the composers and the public. Now, this act was kind of, we just had a little fun maybe, or thinking of ourselves doing some kind of act for our own experience with that music now, with this new approach to the Italian 17th century music, which doesn't mean that there is an interruption to the experiences we all had. Most of us, we have been about 20 years around in different groups and with a lot of experience of historical performance practices. Now, what I think is that this attitude, which was first proclaimed, let's say, in the 70s, or the approach to this older repertoire with an authenticity, strong factor of authenticity, at a certain point now, also had become something else which we wouldn't want it to be, which is actually becoming a new institution. And also, even in a more commercial sense, that this historical performance practice has become a very easy way also to in a certain sense, to hide a new staticity in the approach to the music, because it has become a little bit what it actually criticized the 20th century romantic tradition to be, which was an institution in music rather than a revision of a way of approaching that music. So I think that's more what I want to say than actually saying that we don't anymore have any belief in historical performance practice. What I do mean is that there are some really some things really to still put in question, and we should maybe be very careful about that historical performance practice concept, because like when you introduce the element of improvisation, which is one of the thing we really want to do with this project, with this record, then the whole actual, you know, the thought and the philosophy of historical performance practice is a problem, because improvisation is a way of spontaneous composing music, and the whole idea of improvisation is to do something differently than it was done the concert yesterday, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And if you do want to take improvisation seriously, which is very important also as a historical performance practice point of view, because we knew that in the 17th century these musicians were great improvisers. And if we want to try to do some effort to reconstruct that tradition and to try to find a way to make that to make that work out, then we have a serious problem with the concept of historical performance practice in itself. Mm-hmm. So somehow, when you accept improvising as an important element in a musical style, then you have to choose if improvising is supposed to be a kind of style exercise, just using the elements that we already have there, combining them differently, but using just only exclusively these elements, which is a possible approach to it. We think of it a little bit differently. We think that improvising should each time somehow try to go a little bit further than each one's own limits, stylistically speaking. Each moment of improvising should be try to push a little bit further a musical style, or broaden the musical style. And if we do that, then we have a real problem saying that this is authenticity, because actually then we do not anymore reproduce, so to speak, the last concert of a composer in the 17th century, which actually was performed, or hypothetically speaking, but we reproduce one later concert, I mean the concert the day after the last concert. Mm-hmm. And of course the problem with that is that this day after didn't happen the day after, it happened a couple of centuries later. Yeah. And then we have to relate to our musical experiences as musicians today and decide if we want to try to completely cancel them or try to make up of as if we didn't have these experiences. Everything which is, you know, from the very first song, your mother's song, to put you to bed, or any other style of music we are familiar with today. Mm. And we took a little bit this last approach to it now with this new album. And when we do real improvising and not exercise of style, so to speak, then that sometimes bring us into in new, stylistically new elements, which surely are not present in the really repertoire. But somehow these elements are also suggested in the repertoire, because what is a very, very, very interesting thing, especially with this early 17th century Italian music, is that it's extremely modern and experimental style. And they kind of offered a palette of a lot of musical colors and, concretely speaking, harmonic, melodic, and kind of sound timbric aspects, which they didn't develop themselves either, actually. It was just offered and proposed as new style, and then eventually what happened later didn't develop all of these aspects. So it's a very, it's a great temptation to try to put oneself in that situation and say, now, today we want to develop other aspects that actually historically happened later.
Hmm. Yeah, you answered another question I was going to ask you. You'd said you coaxed out what was already in there, and you really did. You coaxed out what was in there. You coaxed out some jazz and some Celtic music and Latin American music, very effectively.
Well, the thing, there is an idea about that. I don't know how clear that comes out in itself, but the central work of the album is a passacaglia. Mm-hmm. Now, passacaglia was actually basically an improvised form, which later became a great composition form in its period. And this huge passacaglia of this Domenico Pellegrini, which is the composer, the guitar composer, he offers a huge piece which lasts almost an hour if you want to play the piece itself from the very beginning to the end, or 28 pages of music. And he goes through all the different keys, and he goes through a lot of different musical atmosphere and all, even musical styles, actually. For example, in the beginning, he goes into something which is very close to some kind of Spanish flamenco type of feeling. Later on, his passacaglia goes into a kind of chromatic part, which then leads us into more modern style. Later on, there is some, as you said, Celtic style in it, and all these things. And actually, all these elements are there, and we just connect to them, so to speak, and we use these elements as our inspiration to improvise further on it.
Hmm.
And that brings me maybe to a point, an important point for the concept of the record as well, which is this kind of play of proportions we do it. Actually, we don't really introduce so many new elements in itself, but we change proportions to the already existing elements in a way.
Hmm.
So we may pick up just a very small part which has some strong modernity in itself and develop that. And of course, eventually the proportions aren't the same as the composers would have been, but this kind of changing proportions is a very Baroque attitude to things. I mean, that was historically also what happened when the Baroque area developed itself on basis on what happened in the Renaissance, you know, in the 16th, or even 15th, 16th century.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because if you think in any domain or art in European, going from the Renaissance to the Baroque, there is nothing new in the Baroque area, actually. There is, I mean, either architecture or painter or music or anything, there is nothing new, but they just change proportions to the old existing element, which is what happened in architecture when the shapes and the forms get, you know, the circle gets elliptic and the quadrat get a rectangular and all these things. It's what happened with the chiaroscuro in the painting when they get a very, very strong taste for the extreme in the whole scale of light and color. The extreme dark and extreme light get an open a kind of new tension in between itself.
Mm.
And that's what happened in the music as well. The whole way of composing, you go from four very, very, very well equilibrated voices, which becomes eventually kind of a very strong taste for either or high soprano sounds and bright sounds and also very deep dark sounds in a way.
Hmm.
And that's, we try to do that in the sound of the records and with the help of a modern studio. That's possible to do with the authentic instruments and create somehow also a sound image which is a new proportion, because certain instruments come up front which acoustically would be more difficult to have that present in a normal situation, and other instruments get less important.
Right.
So it's all a play of proportions in a certain way. That's another very important element to that concept.
Speaking of proportion, tell me about your fellow performers. Who are they? How did you all come together for this project?
Well, we are, many of us collaborate in other groups, and above all with Jordi Savall's Hesperian group. Some of us we knew since really 15, 20 years almost, playing early music together, like Pedro Esteban, Guido Morini, and myself. And then one musician actually is a very good double bass jazz player who I contacted 4 years ago, and I told him, well, we have this bass lute instrument, which is called colashone, and this instrument, no one really played it yet, and my feeling is that this needs to be played by a bass player and someone who has experience in also in improvising, making up bass lines on very simple fundament, which is what happens in that period. And this musician who has a classical training and jazz experience, he sat down for a couple of years with that instrument and actually learned a new instrument for our group, which was a very, very nice experience. And also we realized that it's somehow easier to teach a certain stylistic language to someone, to a good musician who has a great improvising experience, than doing the other way around. And then certain classical, very, very good classical musicians have often more difficulties to really learn the experience of improvising on stage.
Tell me, what's in your CD player or your iPod? What are you listening to now?
Well, just now, actually, this morning I sat down and I got some ECM records because I was up there in München last week, and I just listened to some French and some American jazz music. I listened to Keith Jarrett playing The Melody Comes at Night to You, solo piano playing. I think he's a fabulous musician, and it reminds me on something which actually also has been an important thing to me, because myself, I left jazz and improvised music 20 years ago, basically, because I felt that there was some elements missing in the music for me, which first of all was the element of sound control in a way, or the really cultural sound on an instrument. If you listen to plucked string players, like a lot of guitar players in the 70s, 60s and 70s, they were great musicians, great improvisers, but it was something with the attitude to the sound, probably because the sound was amplified and also not always really very good amplified. But there's something with the sound control which is not existent at that point, and which kind of puts the whole improvised music, jazz tradition in a very its own corner in a way. Mm-hmm. While classical music still had, always had that aspect as a very, very predominant aspect. And what happened actually the last 20 years, in my feeling, my experience now, listening to jazz music and improvised music today, is that a lot of very good jazz musicians, they also have integrated and cultivated that aspect. And a pianist like Keith Jarrett, I feel he has a sound control on the instrument which is as good as any classical pianist would be. And that makes really that style of music, it makes it very attractive to listen to.
Thank you so much for making time this morning to speak with me, and wish you well, and say again congratulations on this really extraordinary new recording.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
Nice to speak to you.
Likewise.